Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
Brandon Kiley, it's BK and Ferrario here on 101 ESPN, and we are always happy to go out to the 101 ESPN hotline when Darren Pang is on the line, TV analyst, of course, for the Chicago Blackhawks and for TNT, and you can hear him on the Back to You show with Catherine Tappan as well. Panger, we appreciate the time, man. How you doing today?
I am doing very well, thank you. Great to be back here, and I tell you, it's just the second time for me, and it's exciting to come back here, so I'm looking forward to tonight, and you know, seeing yourself and seeing everybody down there at the rink for the game tonight.
Still bittersweet for you, Panger, when you walk through the doors at Enterprise?
Yeah, there's nothing bitter about it. Honestly, it's great. It's sweet, more than bitter. How about that?
I like that one.
You know what? There's just so many good people and so many good friends. And even last night, I came here and I went to dinner at Pastoria with my daughter and her husband and my little granddaughters. And then afterwards I met up with a couple of guys that I've known for a long time, like Tony Sansone. And it's like, I went yesterday afternoon too, when we landed, and I went to Siteman's cancer. And I went and, I met up with Chaser.
Oh, so nice.
So spent some time with Chaser as well, and got to see his smiling face and so that's the great thing, and it'll always be that way.
Panger, I'm surprised Chaser didn't try and pull you in to put the skates and the pads back on for that charity game.
Yeah, what a great job they did, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, what a really tremendous job to make. You know, that check was for $600,000, and they had a lot of other fundraisers following that, so I think that number is going to get higher than that. So that's Chaser all the way. I mean, yep. If he's going to do something, he does it right, and he leans on friends, and friends respond because he's treated people so well all his career, all his life, and now they come back and help out. So what a job he did.
Panger, I didn't get the chance to talk to you after we found out about Chaser's diagnosis, but what was that response for you like? Because, of course, you have a very strong friendship with Chaser.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult to hear him, say the words, to be honest with you. I remember I was walking in at Fulton Market with my wife. It was a beautiful sunny day, and we're going for a walk. And, I remember Lynn saying to me, like, "You okay?" And I'm like, "No, not really." I mean, it's Chaser, big, strong farm boy, doesn't get sick. I mean, I had him on the road. I said that to him. I said, I had you on the road. I dragged you to places at all hours of the night, or he dragged me to places at all hours of the night. There's no way this guy has got cancer. There's no chance. But then when you hear his voice and he wants to calm you down, basically, then everything's going to be okay. So, but seeing him yesterday, he posted a picture on Twitter. He's got these great sayings on the wall at the hospital, and he's a highly motivated person. I think he should give a lot of people strength. I travel with former Hawk Troy Murray. He does the radio for us, and he's got stage 4 cancer, and I'm with him every day. And I see a guy that never complains, never, when everybody else is moaning about something, there's a guy with cancer, doesn't complain, doesn't say a word to anybody. So I think guys like that, and Chaser, Tony Granato was there. I mean, just totally inspiring people. And I think that should give, people that don't have what we have, which is a stage or, a platform because of our past history or being an athlete. But, for the people out there that are suffering from it, I hope that they look at these guys and say, you know what, tomorrow's going to be a better day, or I can put a smile on my face and do something different,
Panger, part of what makes that community so special here in St. Louis, especially in terms of the hockey community, the former Blues alumni, is that the guys that wore the note on their chest, they remember it so fondly, and there's a culture that comes with that. And that's been the conversation, as you're certainly aware, Panger, here in St. Louis over the past few seasons, is like, is that going away? Are we still having that? When you look at the team, and you're seeing it from afar now, certainly more than when you were with them on a day-to-day basis, a guy like Jake Nabors feels like he brings some of that back to the table. And I don't know what his status is going to be over the next week or so as we finish out the season, but he's been spectacular so far for St. Louis this year. What's been your impression of watching him from afar?
Oh, it's been fantastic. From the moment I met Jake, I was thoroughly impressed. And even at that time, not knowing what kind of player he would he be an NHL player? Did he have the foot speed to be an NHL player? That was still uncertain, a late first round pick. But, you know, the more you saw him and the more you saw him soak up the information, you know, from a Braden Schenn, from Justin Falk and these guys, you could tell that some guys just get it and some guys don't get it. And some guys will never get it. And then other guys like him, it just, you know, he's the next generation of the players that we talked about. It does start with the alumni of the St. Louis Blues. The alumni is incredible. It goes from Bruce Affleck to Bernie. You go all the way down the line, but then Chaser heavily involved, and Chaser doesn't take no for an answer. And I think that's what you've got. I think that's what you got to do to continue to have culture, is to make sure you keep bringing in guys like that it absolutely bleeds through the sweater, that these are the guys that you want to go to war with. These are the guys that are going to go into, you know, the city of St. Louis, and they're going to endear themselves to the fans, and they're going to be there forever. They're going to go into O.B. Clark. They're going to meet people. They're going to, you know, they're going to, when the game's not great, they're going to find a way to change the culture of the game. And that's the guys that get St. Louis. And that's what I learned in my 14 years of being part of the organization and seeing the alumni every single day. That's the impressive part. And the key is to get enough of those guys so that Blues fans absolutely adore you and want to go to the rink and they want to cheer for you because they know you're giving it everything you've got. I feel bad for the guys that don't do that, because you only have one opportunity to make a good impression. And I think this is a very easy town, honestly, to make a good first impression. You just lay it on the line for everybody. Be genuine, play hard, and give it your soul. And I think they love you for that.
Pinger, I remember
that opportunity.
Absolutely. And I remember us talking earlier in the season when the Blues and Blackhawks played against each other, and you had talked about, you know, you don't really know what's going on with this team, but you can only go back to the past and what worked. And you referenced the 2019 team, and you said that team had the talent and just needed to check their egos at the door. And when they did, they went on that run. Yep. Does this team feel like it's in that similar situation, or do you feel like it's something different right now?
Well, and the reason why I said that in 19 was because, you know, there were so many new players that were vitally important and had new personalities, you know, like, you know, certainly O'Reilly, but we brought back David Perron at that point. Patrick Maroon came in. Tyler Bozak, quiet, kind of unassuming, but man, competitive. And, coaches trust a guy like that to take key faceoffs. So maybe he bumped somebody else off of that position. And I thought some guys were getting a little bit lost that were here previous. And because of the new players coming in, and that's when I said, right at ice level, and I remember looking over to my right, and I just blurted it out, until they check their egos at the door, they're not going anywhere fast. It's just, you can tell. And they did. And they found a role for everybody. And the coach, chief, found a way to get everybody involved and didn't lose anybody on that bench. Is this team similar? Well, yeah, there are some players that probably, I would have to say, when game's not going well, that they likely think of, you know, of themselves or how they're not getting ice time. And then there's guys that, again, know how to drag you out of that funk and make you better people, make you better players. And you know, all year long, I watch Braden Schenn, and it's like clockwork. The game's not going well. Need a spark. Who's there? It's number 10. I mean, who ended up getting a fight the other day? Justin Falk.
Yeah.
You know, and no offense to Justin Falk, but somebody else should have probably, you know, got involved in that one there, you know, before the Wiley veterans got to step in there, you know? And that's part of the learning process, I think, that you're talking about with this team. And not to check an ego at the door, but finding a way, you know, to make a bigger impact in the game other than, you know, handling pucks or getting some cookies or getting ozone face-offs, to really dig in. And I think if you really dug in at certain points of the year, I mean, I think this Blues team's a playoff team. And I think I said that earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd be right there.
Darren Pang is our guest for just another couple of minutes here on 101 ESPN. He is a TV analyst, of course, for the Blackhawks and on TNT. We love him here in St. Louis for all of his great work that he did with the Blues as well. Panger, when you think about the decision that the Blues are going to have to make as we get closer to this offseason, when it comes to the head coach, and Drew Bannister, I think, has done a really good job so far in the interim status. What do you think they should be? I'm not looking for necessarily a name, but the qualities that this team needs, given where it's at in its life cycle as an organization right now, what are some of the qualities that you think they need to be looking for in whoever it is that they bring in as their next head coach?
Yeah, you're right. And you never know what Army's going to do. I mean, a lot of GMs have done the same thing and brought a coach in as an interim head coach. And then, you know, the season ends and they look around and whether that maybe there's somebody out there that they thought they were going to get. Next thing you know, that coach doesn't get released from his job. And now, you know, as you look at it and you analyze it, and then you go back to Drew and you say, you know what, Drew did a good job with this. He set a good tone here. He made this player a healthy scratch. He did what he could do with what he had on the roster in terms of playing guys or not playing guys. I don't know him that well. But I have to think, this is just me, but if I would have to think, and let's take Doug Armstrong and the Blues right out of this equation, but let's think 3 weeks ago, how many coaches do you think that might have been available? And I think the number one guy that a lot of GMs were looking at saying, if they keep going this way, then maybe Mike Sullivan's available, as an example. Mm-hmm. You know, now all of a sudden the Penguins are like, they're right there. And now, so maybe that coach isn't available. And then you look down the line and another coach is going to be available and he's not available, or maybe chooses another team. So I'm going in a roundabout way, but I know Army and the way that he does his due diligence and his work and the amount of phone calls he's probably making, you know, during the year, when the year ends, you know, looking ahead and looking to see if Drew's the guy that he wants for the next phase, or somebody else that's available that maybe has a little bit more maybe history or experience or more presence behind the bench. Those are probably things that you look at as well.
Panger, final one from me. And again, we truly appreciate the time and looking forward to seeing you tonight. You've seen this with the Blues when you were here. You're living it right now with the Blackhawks. What's the difficulty for a team of trying to compete but also grow the young players in the NHL?
Yeah, that is not easy. And, you know, obviously the Blues are ahead of that game. You know, with the quality of players that are on the roster, as compared to, you know, the Hawks right now it's very transparent, and it has been. Everybody knows what's going on. So I think that's the easy selling point, you know, and you happen to get the first overall pick and it's Connor Bedard. And now you're probably going to get a top three pick again to build off of that. But the important thing is having guys like Nick Foligno, Seth Jones is a good example. Jacob Megna and Tenorti were brought in, experience like that to make sure that you surround Connor Bedard and a kid named Philip Kurashev and Lucas Reichel. You know, they're all younger players, and when things don't go well, you don't want those players to get down or find themselves in a dark hole. I mean, that's when you need the veteran players. You know, I mentioned Foligno. Peter Mrazek got signed to an extension as well. That's when you need those guys. I've seen it many times where Nick Foligno's, you know, grabbed Connor Bedard and put his arm over his shoulder and walked to the plane. And, you know, you can tell that those conversations are very meaningful in making sure that the kids see the light at the end of the tunnel when it can be kind of depressing, I'm sure, at times losing so many games.
He's Darren Pang. We always enjoy being able to catch up with him. You can find him on Twitter at Panger40. You can also hear him on the Back to You show with Catherine Tappan. It's a podcast that he's doing with Catherine Tappan. Be sure to check that out. Darren, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it as always. We hope to talk with you again soon.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
See you
everybody here in the city. So thank you for doing this.
See you later.